Welcome to Share Talk. Today I have the pleasure of speaking with Regency Mining's Andrew Bell, who is the chairman. How are you today, sir?
I'm very well.
Could we have a look at this week's sort of news items, mainly all based around sort of financial news releases? Could we have a summary of your half-yearly results there, please?
Look, I don't think there was anything very exciting in the half-yearly results. What we're doing doesn't really come out in them, but you would have noticed if you looked at them, there was a slight improvement in the financial situation all around, both in terms of revenue and in terms of reduced personnel costs and in terms of profitability. But one of the things we looked at in that half year was how to slim ourselves down a little, get rid of extraneous interests or untidy interests that are non-core. So we did manage to get rid of a couple of them. And then we carried on pursuing the new direction, which had started with us getting into Horse Hill. We were in a couple of years ago, got back in last year. So that's oil drilling near Gatwick. And to that, we added the coal bed methane interest in Oregon, which is expected to be listed shortly. And then at the end of the period, we were contracting to enter into the coal field in the Appalachians in the eastern United States. And we've continued to develop that coal aspect of the business since the year end, calendar year end.
So in relation to Horse Hill, you obviously released further news this week that you've extended the license period. Could you summarise that for us, please?
It's another tick in the box. It isn't in itself very dramatic news, but I think that the operator there, UK Oil and Gas, is doing a good job, a very sound outfit, sensibly managed, and they're now based down in Guildford, near where their assets are, better than being in London. And I think they are making steady progress. You know, going to the council for the necessary approvals. On advice, they're going after the council elections. And that's not a necessity. That's a courtesy that was asked for, because there will be some new councillors in at that time. And it's right for them to know about this. Not because there's really a lot of discretion at this stage with the council, but because it's controversial in the sense that there are always some local protesters against it. So I think that the approvals are likely in about May, June, and then in the second half of the year you will see that drilling and test work.
Looking at the other news item that you touched on there, it's the IPO of Curzon Energy, and you're looking at that to be another potential source of long-term growth. Could you summarise what's happening there, please?
Yes, Curzon Energy is the remains of a company that had $100 million spent on developing coal bed methane in Oregon, and one particular institution that advanced them $30 million then took possession of the assets when it was unpaid, and is now relisting them in London at about $5 or $6 or $8 million dollars. And we have 4% of that so far pre-IPO, and expect to be at 10% when it lists. There are 5 wells already drilled, just not completed, and ready to be hooked up to the gas line that goes right past a few yards away. And the price of gas in Oregon is higher than the standard American price, which is called Henry Hub, because the competition is gas that's piped in from Canada, which is expensive. So this looks like a very profitable project. If the first 5 or 8 wells do okay, then you can roll out over a period hundreds. And so that's a very positive. I think gas prices are going up anywhere in the States. This is a specific gas market, gives you good margins. Here's an asset where we're getting in something out of bankruptcy right at the bottom of the market And I think with the new money, it will have good prospects.
So will that be almost a sit back and no funds, no further funds are needed in regards
in
to that?
Sit back because one of our directors here is going to go on the board there. That's the plan.
Yes, okay. Now, if we can have a look at the issue of equity and the update that you put out on the Alabama coal joint venture, could you explain further who Steve Medici is and what sort of way forward you are planning on doing sort of deals with him? Where's the interest there?
Stephen Moskiki is a Yorkshireman. He isn't, in fact, Polish, although you might think that from the name, but his ancestors came from Poland. But he's a Yorkshireman now, through and through, and he spent a number of years after being in the property business developing coal assets in the United States, waiting for this great day to come when all the winds, the tides are in your favor. And obviously he now wants to exploit the opportunity that exists to scale up and do things. And I'm happy to say that we were in a position to do that just at the time that he was looking for people. And so I think we're growing together in developing some of these assets. And the very first project we got into there, which is the Rosa mine, is a nice, simple situation where all the work's been done. It's like walking into a house and switching on the lights and finding that there is furniture in good taste already there and clean sheets and just ready to walk in and start.
So hopes and expectations were around obviously the mine coming online at or towards the end of March. Could you summarise why that hasn't happened?
Well, everything's ready at the end of March. The only element in all of this that one can't control is, everybody else can pass documents and things around by getting in the car and whizzing from place to place. The government there communicates by consigning documents to the post so that there is a internal process whereby they sort of wend their way from box to box and then get put in the post. They don't have to wait for the post to arrive. So every time something gets into their hands, there is a certain sort of time lag. We should have had the necessary last document by now. We know that it's all been approved and everything because the inspector who gets sent out after it's been approved has already been and approved everything, on that site. So one has to be a little bit patient with these things because you're dealing with people whose cooperation is absolutely essential, and relationships with whom are very important to us, and we don't want to be doing anything wrong, starting without every tick in every box in place. And so at the moment, the plant is just washing other people's coal, but everyone is just ready, primed to go as soon as we're able. And at any time, any day, sort of mid-morning Alabama time, we could hear a good piece of news that will mean that the right documents have arrived and then they get shunted around and stamped by a car, which takes a day or so or two. And then it's there. It happens.
So in regards to the inspector then, you're effectively saying it will be issued, it's just a case of when?
No, I'm saying that it has been issued and approved. It's just that you have to get the copy and you have to get it stamped and filed with the State Records Office and then take it back with that stamp to deposit it at the Alabama Surface Mining Commission. And so that's sort of just a little bit of administrative stuff that has to be done at the back end. But everything that can be done has been done, and no obstacles are there. And the thing that gets triggered at the same time as they send out these documents of approval is that they instruct somebody to go on site and say, yes, that everything looks as if it's ready to go, and that has already happened. So we know the stage of the process that it's at, and obviously it should have arrived a few days ago. Good heavens, you know, things can get lost in the post, and then you just have to sort the thing out. But you have to go with the flow sometimes. I mean, sometimes it pays to be impatient and push and shove, but sometimes, particularly dealing with the government, you just have to wait for the things to arrive when they arrive.
Well, I know certain investors have prayed for miracles on other shares in relation to the ISA day, so it could be a blessing in disguise for some of your shareholders.
So, well, yeah, you know, maybe even I would get a chance to buy some shares if I'm not an insider for a day or two. And as you can see today, we were able to put out an announcement, including a director dealing. So we're not insiders as we stand today. Soon, no doubt, we will be, because there are so many things likely to happen, going to happen at some point out there.
Okay. Could we touch, obviously, on the state of affairs in relation to you getting a convertible loan? Now, if the name called Darwin came out, a lot of people see that as a very negative piece of news flow.
Heck of Darwin. Never heard of him.
Never heard of Darwin? Well, lots of investors have, and unfortunately,
I've never heard of anything that they've done. Never met them, never engaged with them.
Right. Now, obviously, this isn't Darwin. This is a totally different company. However, could you explain the rationale for your investors and for potential investors behind using the convertible loans at this stage of the market and with the company development and again about to go into production?
Yep. Well, we wanted money quickly in order to do certain things and keep progress and momentum out there. We can't keep on going back always to the same group of investors because they've got quite a bit of money in already, and they can't produce it that quickly necessarily. And if you're asking people to exercise warrants, well, some people just want to keep some of their warrants for a while. And that's fair enough. We can push them to exercise some, but not all. So, you know, we looked at what the possible sources were, and actually this looked like quite a good deal. If we're confident that there's nothing that's going to make the price go down and that it's going to go up, if we know, then the way that this works is essentially we have done a placing at 1.155 pence when we were negotiating it. That was about the share price. And if you look at the price today, that is about the share price. But we think the price is going to go up. And so that's the fixed conversion price. Now, the one thing we can say is that this is a buyer, the YA fund, that's very well known to us. We've got a relationship with those people that's deeper and longer than anyone else in London. They trust us, and we trust them. And they are not looking for 20%. They're looking for 100% or 200% of this. And they are likely to be holding, on average, the profile for longer than the average placee that you might do a placing to. Now, that's what happens if the price goes up. Now, if our price goes down, then theoretically, in order to protect themselves as lenders, they have a variable conversion price they can use. And that's limited how much you can do in a month. But also, we have at that point the ability to repay. We don't anticipate that would happen. If our price went low, then we would be looking to repay, and that we know we'd be able to repay because we have assets we know that we can sell that are substantial assets. So the way that this is going to work is that we have what we believe will be actually quite a reasonably long-term holder that is expecting to make a lot of money out of this and whose interests are therefore aligned with ours. You're not talking about people who are going to be shoving stock out into the market all the time. No, I mean, these same people, they can do that. And it depends on the situation and the company and the instrument and what's been agreed and what the relationship is between the parties. But given all those factors and variables are known to us, and actually they're going to be the 50% shareholder in Curzon when it lists, and they're letting us in, you know, to take 10% and put someone on the board. So that gives you some idea of the degree of trust and confidence that has built up over nearly 10 years. And people who are looking at this as a Darwin facility, or what do they call it, as looking at it as something like that, are getting the wrong end of the stick.
Why this large amount then at this stage?
Well, you know, to be honest, we had a $400,000 or just under debt to them that I think was originally taken out in 2011 as a one-year facility. And you can see, you know, the fact that they haven't been sort of pushing it, been working with us on it, has shown that the relationship that exists there. Now, they didn't push us too much when the market was going down. Now, that's being rolled up into this thing. So it solves that as well. I mean, essentially, we're going to get rid of, in a rising market where we're going to be producing revenues and expanding, and we should have two coal mines in operation very soon, we are going to be getting rid of any vestige of debt. And you know, we're giving some stock to people in essence when the price goes up, as we expect, at 1.15p. And if the price goes up a lot more than that, they'll be able to sell it at a profit. Well, if we did a placing, exactly the same would happen. We'd probably be issuing stock. We'd have been issuing stock at a bit lower. Depending on the broker, you know, you might be paying as much in commission or slightly less, but could be easily be as much. You'd probably be having to give away warrants. And the bigger the facility, the less control you have, so that you can get that stock absolutely showering back into the market. I think to vary the instruments you have out there is a good thing. And that's what we've done.
So you've obviously expired the existing debt on the books, which as per your reporting was just under $400,000.
Yeah, we have an instrument which is binary. It behaves one way if the price goes up, when it becomes essentially just like equity, but with a holding period that we think will be a bit longer, and it behaves another way if the price goes down.
So what would be your key sort of summary points on the convertible loan note then, to sort of allay any fears out there for your investors? Just summarize some very, very key points.
There shouldn't be any fears, because if there are fears, it just means people haven't analyzed enough. I mean, it may be that if I did a couple of hours less work every day on the coal and the prospects and what we're doing, I would be nervous, and I would see this in a different light. But as it is, you know, with the amount of work we're doing, the confidence we have, what's happening every day, we feel a level of confidence that makes it almost inexplicable that people should be doubting us when we've already seen the price go from 0.4 to 1.15 or whatever it is this year. And we've put in place some building blocks that are really taking the company much further forward. Our market capitalization now is 10 times what it was in the spring of last year. And the price is up to 250% of what it was then, and up more from what it was a year and 4 months ago. So people should think, you know, we are, we've done that. We're confident in what we're doing. We wouldn't take a reckless decision. We didn't need to take a reckless decision. So it probably isn't a reckless decision.
Well, we'll have a look forward and hopefully, as you've worded there, hopefully have two assets up and producing. And on that note, my last question, which obviously I know you won't be able to answer 100%,
yeah.
Will there be additional fundraisings potentially needed to bring the assets that you've acquired on board?
Well, we've got the assets on board, bringing them into production. This is one of the reasons why we want to bring them into production as quickly as possible, because obviously, you know, there's a holding cost. There's a cost to doing anything, including holding assets. And so if you don't bring them into production, you don't get the cash flow coming in. So eventually you'll need to raise a bit more. But if you bring them into production, then you have the cash flow. And then it's very easy to develop things. And we also, as I mentioned before, we have an asset, in fact, a couple of substantial assets that we are looking to sell because they're now non-core. And they would bring in enough for all the needs that we foresee. Add to that the fact that we have quite a number of warrants out there, which, as the price goes up, we can expect people to exercise. And I would be surprised to see us going back to the market. In fact, I think that when we did this convertible loan, we were trying to send a bit of a signal that we don't want to go back to the market and place more stock out there.
Okay, Andrew, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you as always, and we look forward to the next sort of news items that are coming along.
Great, good to speak to you too.
Thank you for your time. Cheers.
Okay, bye.